Chapter 2. God's Word for the Whole World. What is the hope of reaching the 4 billion persons who are oral learners? What is the hope for getting God's Word to the speakers of the 4,000 languages still without His Word? The answer comes from Jesus' own model in Mark 4. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the Word to them as much as they could understand. In fact, the passage goes on to say, He did not say anything to them without using a parable. Jesus chose His teaching style to match His listeners' capacities, and so should we. Jesus used familiar oral means that they understood. So can we. One straightforward way to communicate to oral learners in a way they will understand is for them to hear the stories of the Bible in an oral, sequential pattern that they can absorb and remember. The communication of stories in this way has come to be referred to as chronological Bible storying. It is a proclamation of God's Word in a culturally relevant way that oral learners can understand and respond to. A storying approach to ministry involves selecting and crafting stories that convey the essential biblical message in a way that is sensitive to the worldview of the receptor society. The stories are faithful to the biblical text, and at the same time, told in a natural, compelling manner in the heart language. They are expressed in the manner in which that society conveys a treasured, true story. The process also is done in a way that facilitates the hearers in processing the story in a culturally relevant way, normally involving some sort of discussion about or interaction with the story. Without the presence of God's Word, there will be no true spiritual movements. Without God's Word, an incipient movement will ultimately collapse, splinter, fall prey to cults, or face syncretism with existing local beliefs and practices. Unbelievers need Christians to provide His Word in culturally appropriate formats in order for them to understand it and respond to it. But understanding and responding is still not enough for a spiritual movement. Those who respond need to be able to reproduce it, to share it themselves with others who can, in turn, share it with others, with this pattern being repeated many times over. A spiritual movement of this sort can provide a foundation for faith, witness, and church life. For this to happen in an oral society and involve the majority of those oral communicators who will likely remain oral communicators for their lifetime, the process will have to be an oral one for evangelism, discipleship, leader training, and church planting. Because of the communication and learning styles of oral communicators, reflecting their thought and decision-making processes, this should be primarily through narrative presentations of God's Word. This does not mean that we discourage literacy or neglect literates. Experience shows that once oral learners accept the gospel, some will have the desire and persistence to become literate in order to read the Bible for themselves. The development of oral strategies is not a deterrent to translating the Bible into every language. In fact, the opposite is true. These burgeoning church-planting movements that result from an oral proclamation will need the whole counsel of God, requiring non-Christians to learn to read just so they can consider the Christian faith puts unnecessary obstacles in their path. We wish all peoples had the written translation of the Scripture in their heart language. But for the illiterate, written Scripture is not accessible, even if it is available in their own language. On the other hand, a Bible translation program that begins with the oral presentation of the Bible through storying and continues with a translation and literacy program is the most comprehensive strategy for communicating the Word of God in their heart language. It offers a viable possibility of making disciples of oral learners, while at the same time providing the whole counsel of God. We do not want our call for oral approaches to be seen as setting oral and literate approaches in opposition to one another. It is not a matter of either-or, but both-and. Again, the Bible itself gives the model. There are examples throughout the Scriptures where both the written Word of God and the spoken Word of God are given prominence, often side by side. For example, Moses wrote down the words of the law, according to Deuteronomy chapter 31. God instructed him to write the words down in a song. God also instructed him to teach the song to the Israelites, so that they would always have it in their hearts and on their lips and always remember it. Similarly, in today's world, we envision a systemic approach to evangelism, discipleship, church planting, and leadership development that can involve oral, audio, audiovisual media, and print. A systemic, sequential approach, with a society of largely oral communicators, for example, might begin with oral Bible storying. It could then possibly begin to involve audio and radio presentations of these same oral stories and other audio and radio products of a broader array based on translated biblical material. In some cases, primary visual products may be produced and effectively used. Then the process in some situations may move on to the preparation and distribution of audiovisual products based on translation of further biblical material. Throughout the approach, the undergirding process of Bible translation, at first orally and then in a literate manner, provides the entire counsel of God. In a sequential approach like this, the first biblical stories we use focus very intently on the unique cultural perspectives of the people. Specificity to that culture is crucial in order for them to understand the gospel well and embrace Christ. The same will be true of the stories we use in initial discipleship. Later stages in the strategy will give them ever larger portions of the Bible. At that point, our focus will have shifted from cultural specificity to providing complete books of the Bible, a New Testament, and finally, the whole Bible. God's Word has transforming impact on people's lives when we present it in ways that they can understand it. For example, missionaries worked for 25 years with the Tiv tribe in central Nigeria and saw only 25 baptized believers as a result. That's an average of one believer per year of ministry. Their medium of communication was preaching, which they had learned in Bible school was the proper way to evangelize. Then some young Tiv Christians set the gospel story to musical chants, the indigenous medium of communication. Almost immediately, the gospel began to spread like wildfire, and soon 250,000 Tivs were worshiping Jesus. The Tivs were not as resistant as the missionaries had thought. A change in method brought abundant fruit. Prior to this, the gospel had been proclaimed, but it had not been heard. The communication strategy chosen had not spoken to the heart of the people. This story underscores that groups may not be necessarily unresponsive, but have not yet received the gospel in their learning style. Where traditional literate methods have failed to reach people, appropriate oral strategies have succeeded. When Christian workers follow these principles, non-Christians are more likely to give the gospel a hearing, more likely to respond in faith to it, and more likely to spread it enthusiastically to their friends, relatives, and neighbors. In the Togolese town of Kipere Dafo, for instance, the hamlet sprang to life when the message came. The storyteller is coming. The sound of drumming announced the coming of the storyteller. Men left their game of adi, tailors closed shop, and yawning children roused themselves. The drumming intensified as the storyteller took his place in the center of the village, where he seated himself on a low carved bench. The elders of the village arrived in their finery, and the animated storyteller Antoine exchanged ritual, formalized greetings with his audience. The fetish priestess, clothed in white and wearing her horsehair amulet, stood near, watching intensely. As night fell and the logs crackled in the fire, Antoine began in melodic, poetic style, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." When he reached the repeated phrase, "And God saw that it was good," he sang a song composed in their familiar call-and-response style. He sang a line about God's creative work, and the villagers sang back, "And God saw that it was good." The villagers quickly memorized their part and sang it enthusiastically. Before long, the villagers began dancing, too, to express their delight in this God who created a good world. The village headman joined in the dance, signaling his approval of the story and the event. Antoine continued his story long into the night, accompanied by the sound of drumming, and joined in his song by the villagers. When the fire had burned low and the story song finally ended, no one wanted to leave. The whole experience had engulfed them. A new truth was dawning, and their world would never be the same. Antoine returned many times over the next several weeks, bringing story after story in this way, stories about Abraham and his sons, about the other prophets, about Jesus and God's community. These stories spoke to the villagers' longings, needs, and practices, prompting long conversations with Antoine and among themselves. Gently but firmly, the Holy Spirit used the stories to do his transforming work. In time, extended families made God's story their own story, the God of the Bible their God. A fetish priest burned his amulets, talismans, and jujus because he no longer needed their protection. This same storytelling approach was used to bring about the surrender of strongholds and for discipleship. Through Bible storytelling, the Word of God came to life in the African context. The biblical stories continued as the people of Kipele Dafu grew in their newfound faith, meeting in house churches and taking this message to neighboring villages. The same process has now taken place throughout the Volta region of Togo, Benin, and Ghana, resulting in a movement of people to Christ. 5 key principles were at work at Kipele Dafu. First, the Word of God is more effectively communicated through appropriate cultural relationships. Second, the Word of God will be best heard and understood when we use appropriate oral strategies. Third, the Word of God is most effectively proclaimed when worldview issues of the unreached are addressed. Stories and other cultural forms do this more effectively by inviting listeners to identify with the message. Fourth, the Word of God changes individuals' cultures and worldviews. And fifth, the Word of God can be passed along by ordinary Christians if they receive it in appropriate oral forms. In both these cases, the use of familiar, accepted forms of communicating helped to make the biblical message less foreign. People could easily participate in the event. The word became readily available to them. They entered into the stories, and the stories entered into them. In many parts of the unreached world, there is open hostility to evangelistic activity. Crusades, mass evangelism, and public preaching are not welcome. Bible studies and open witnessing draw negative responses. In these situations, storying can be more fully appreciated. Storying is not confrontational. It is not preaching. It is not overt teaching. It is merely conveying the stories of God's Word, dialoguing about them, and leaving the results to God. Most of the time, the hearers do not even realize that their values are changing until they can no longer deny the truth. His word says it will not return void or empty. So the power of his word, combined with the power of the Holy Spirit, does amazing things. These stories can go where the printed Bible sometimes cannot go. They can cross borders, enter jail cells, even go into the heart of Muslim, Hindu, animist, or socialist homes. They can penetrate the heart of the one listening and change that person's life for eternity.